Congratulations!
You're listening to Congratulations Pine Tree, the Bay's number one arts and culture podcast with me, Katie Rhodes.
And me, Maysoon Wazwaz.
Maysoon, we got a little bit of listener feedback this week, which is my absolute favorite.
Faves.
Of anything that can happen is us getting listener feedback. This email came in and the subject line was elitist isolationism.
Oh, yes.
And I thought we were getting in trouble.
Right.
I thought, did you?
Understandably, yeah. I was like, who the fuck called us that?
Yeah, I was like, uh-oh, what do we do now? Okay, so this person says, hi, Pine Tree. I went to SF MoMA not all that long ago on what used to be the once-a-month free day for the peeps. I was told that the museum abandoned that option after the makeover.
Yeah.
I don't think it is too much to ask for one free day a month for the general public. If the museum accepts any kind of city or state or federal funding, then at least one free day a month should be mandatory. It is shocking and dismaying that as San Francisco becomes increasingly elitist, its largest art museum echoes the greed. Okay, and then they sent a link to an article about LA MoCA and how they are free now, I think.
Fully free.
So, and then the listener was like, MoCA seems to understand this. Get on board, SF MoMA. Get a clue.
Agreed.
Yeah, we couldn't agree more.
Yeah.
I think it should be free every day.
They do have like family days, free family days.
But when is that?
It's not every month. And it's usually, I would say maybe it's like four times a year or something. And I think the only way to get in free is if you're there with a kid.
Right.
So it's not really a true free day, to be honest.
Yeah, everybody write in. We stand strong. We have our fake press passes that I don't think I have ever paid to get into SF MoMA.
Me neither. Well, no, yeah, me neither.
So this
got you in.
And I never will. It's too much money for a place that has a fucking office just for one of the Fisher family dudes.
I know.
Ask him to just, like, subsidize everybody's admission.
It doesn't make any sense. There's tons of museums around the world who, like, have their corporate sponsors. Like, I think New York MoMA has, like, Target Fridays or something where fucking Target pays for everyone to go there for fucking free. And it's a madhouse, but whatever. At least people get to go for free.
It's our culture. It's our American culture. Like, in England, most of the fucking museums and galleries are free because people would be astonished if they started charging.
Right.
Like, people would be disgusted and aghast.
People would protest
in
outrage.
So let's start that now. Don't pay.
Gosh, I wish I still worked there because I would say, listener, just fucking email me and I'll get you a free ticket. But I don't have those privileges anymore. Not as much.
Okay, thank you so much, listener, for writing in, and we totally agree with you.
Check.
Okay, here's another email we got. Super bummer news about Tanukis. Hi there. Nothing like an early morning email to share that Tanukis are the animals bred for generic fur coats because they are so incredibly soft. Anyway, love your podcast.
Wait, it's a real animal?
Tanukis. You don't remember last week we were talking about the raccoon dogs?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, apparently it's not a happy world for Tanukis.
Whoa.
And the listener's like, anyway, love your podcast. Listening to it makes me feel like I'm sitting with friends while talking art.
Aww.
Yours truly with all the bummer trivia, Margaret.
I wish we could figure out a way to have people call us live.
Maysoon, what else you got going on?
Friend of the show, Sarah Tebow, is selling small paintings on Instagram. Have you seen that?
Yeah.
Can you look up her handle so we can tell people? She's selling these beautiful 8x10 paintings, like oil on canvas paintings, for $200. And they're all of different, they're all of the moon in different states. But they're just fucking lovely paintings. And I'm excited that she's doing that and want to encourage people to go buy from her.
And Sarah, if you want to look up Sarah's Instagram, it is SARAH_THIBAULT. Probably tens of thousands of dollars value worth of art. Okay, we also got an update about the old Peephole Cinema right over there by Maysoon's house. If you go over there and check it out, odds are you'll see Maysoon outside in her pajamas hosing down the sidewalk.
Oh, it's so true.
On view from January 27th to March 21st of this year, 2020.
Hey.
Is Ritualized Days, okay? When it seems the world is spinning out of control politically, socially, and environmentally, one might look to keeping a regular constitutional to square meaning and perspective. These routines, whether from personal habits or the outside world, can be a path towards transcendence. Okay, so there's going to be a bunch of works by a bunch of different artists, including Eva Bacislet. Love when I try to pronounce anybody's names. You got Alyssa Block. You got Tess Martin. And many more.
So this, your phone just went to hell.
So get over
this
there.
This is the new show. When does it open? Because I thought the Iran show was still up.
I said it 55 years ago.
God.
Yeah, the Iran show was right at the tail end. Okay, so go check it out. Whatever I said earlier is when it opens. And Orange Alley. Mason, say where it is.
It's Orange Alley near 26th Street.
In the Mission in San Francisco.
Yep. I was talking to some artists this week. They were talking about an experience they had with a gallery in San Francisco.
Ooh, hot goss.
And, you know, I just want to let artists know that they can ask for what they need.
Okay, be more specific.
I just want to encourage them, all artists, to not be taken advantage of.
Okay, what happened?
Well, no, I can't.
Yeah, you can.
Basically,
okay,
they had
Johnny.
They had a show with a gallery.
Johnny went down to Gallery 515.
Uh-huh. And when the show was over, the gallerist kept one of their works.
Without their permission?
Kind of without their permission, but like under the pretense of like helping them out.
I'm
going to sell it.
But without their permission.
But without like an agreement. And so I just feel like that's sketchy ass shit. And I don't really know what that's about. And I feel like any, you know, good gallerist would be
get your fucking permission
up front and
it's just like
and communicative
else
with any artist they're trying to work with. And you know, their experience with the show was decent. Like, they didn't have a terrible time working with this gallerist during the show, but the sort of the after the fact piece where this person's holding on to their work without any kind of agreement or plan moving forward.
Consent,
kind of, you know.
Maysoon, consent should be enthusiastic and continuous.
That's true. And I think, yeah, that is, I agree. And so I just felt like, God, that's shitty. Like, I just don't want to think about people taking advantage of artists. And I know it happens all the time, but I just want to encourage artists to be like, you know what? You can go to that space and get your fucking work back. And that's that. Or you can insist or demand to get an agreement. You can actually draw up your own fucking agreement and have them sign it. You know what I mean? Like, go ahead and do that. It's not, it's just, don't get taken advantage of. That's shitty. That's all.
Good one, Maysoon. I loved it.
I feel like I should be like the artist mafia. Like, you need some help? You call me. I'll go take care of it for you.
I would love that.
Me and others, a slew of like do-gooder gallerists or arts people.
Arts advocates.
Arts
That's
advocates.
Real artist advocacy.
We'll take them out for you.
Yeah, I love that. Maysoon, I've discovered, I haven't discovered it, but only to me because I didn't hear about
you
it before.
You yourself have learned something new.
Yes, right. And okay, it is a way of organizing ideas and knowledge. Okay. Okay? And it is called Zettelkasten. Okay, it's German. Okay.
You and the Germans.
It's knowledge management. Okay, that's how you do. And then it's also good for writing or any kind of creative work. And also reading, okay?
And it's like you got to go get an implant or something?
No, you get a million index cards.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
And you put everything on index cards, okay?
Okay. But you
got to use categories. It's basically like putting all your mind knowledge in a card catalog.
Yeah.
Okay? And
Why?
I didn't read it. You can check it out at zettelkasten.de. So that's Zettelkasten. Okay, look, I didn't read any of it, but I was like,
you're like, I love it. I'm
I was
sold.
Like, index cards ready for it. I went to CVS.
What?
You can see over there my little box of index cards.
That is not a million fucking index cards.
It's
like
250.
100.
Oh. And I got two of those. And that's how I'm now, I'm working on a comic book project. And this is how I'm now reorganizing my ideas and the events of the comic book and my research, because it's a historical story about the assassination of William McKinley.
Should I read a few of these?
No, because they're most of them are just like little quick little bullshit. Don't get them out of order.
I'm not. No, I'm not. I have my
okay.
finger.
So anyhow, I haven't read any of it. All I know is that you just write everything down on index cards. And
what
that's
is,
what I'm
can
doing.
Can you help me understand what this little piece of paper taped on top of the index cards represents
for you? Well, I had them all taped to the wall and then I had to take them down and some of them got torn.
Okay, thank you.
Wait, let me see. So like in my case, I'm working on a narrative. So I have like each scene and each part of the narrative. But then I also have like things that are just parts of my research.
Yeah.
Like a headline from the newspaper on the day McKinley yeah. was assassinated. Or I have like abstract like images that I don't know where they go. Like a talking buffalo in formal Victorian attire.
Amazing.
You know, and stuff
an
like
ascot.
That. And then other, like, specifics and things. And so I have them all here in my card catalog. And then I can take them out and I can rearrange them. And so it helps me also, like, find new ways of telling my story that aren't necessarily, like, perfectly chronological and linear. I can, like, yeah. mix up the time of yeah. how things go to make things more, like, be organized by theme mm-hmm. of what's going on in the story.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying, check out, actually, if anybody wants to actually read what you're really supposed to do and then get back to me, because like they're
you know,
really
one of
into
our
it.
Listeners has heard about it, has studied it already and has practiced it and hates
yeah,
it now
but
or something.
What's good about it to me is that you use index cards, and then in as opposed to being in a notebook or a sketchbook, you can
right.
set them all out and see it all at once.
Yeah.
And I like
so is
that
it kind of like one thought per card
yeah.
or one idea or one image one,
yeah pretty much
yeah.
Okay.
So it's not about like making space in your brain. Like if you know that you have
no,
your ideas there,
it.
Then maybe there's more space in here to like find
yes,
that new
no,
idea.
That is that that's what it is. You just said it perfect.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
To externalize. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's really good, Maysoon. Mm. You're a fucking genius.
Mm. Thank
okay,
you.
Well, I'm cutting all this out. So
no, don't.
What else we got? Okay, here's a listener who had a New Year's resolution to kind of organize their studio better.
Oh.
And they want to know if we have any tips on that. And sitting in my studio right now, seeing how fucked up it is, I don't know if I got anything.
Get a couch.
I think that mind organization technique was I feel
pretty,
like I've contributed
solid.
A lot to the public already in this episode. So
yeah.
Your turn.
I'm all about spending some time like purging, like going through shit and throwing stuff away.
I also like to put as much shit just up on the wall as I can. A lot of people like to have a real like clean, like a gallery
yeah.
space.
Yeah.
I'm not like that at all.
It helps you to see everything.
Yeah. Then I know where everything is. But I'm really in a time where I also, listener, we should just like help each other organize our studios.
Oh.
Here's the strategy. I'm going to go through. I'm going to get rid of all the stuff I don't need.
Mm-hmm.
And try to find somebody else to take it.
Yep.
Then I need to get stuff in stackable things. Like I have tubs or I have
plastic
boxes.
Bins or whatever.
Yeah, I have built a new shelf I can put some stuff on. Mm-hmm. And then I need things to be not where I have piles on the ground that can't have anything on top of them because
right,
they're like
right.
a weird shape.
Yep.
I also have a huge amount of tote bags with shit in them. I need to go through the tote bags, get the tote bags out of here.
Yeah.
I also want to build shelves that come down like an attic door from the ceiling
oh.
and like come like a hinge off
yes.
the ceiling and then go up and hide back into the ceiling. And then everything will be kind of seat belted in with tiny bungee cords.
Like you would use the space between the
yeah,
ceiling.
Yeah, I have some rafters.
And, yeah, so you want to use that.
And then have, do you remember the movie Overboard with Goldie Hawn and Kurt Russell?
I did not, so do not.
Well, Goldie Hawn is this rich woman and she's like on a yacht and she has Kurt Russell come in because he's a carpenter to install new shoe shelves in her closet.
Oh, perfect.
And he makes incredible. It's like a carousel. It like opens out and then it just keeps opening.
Oh,
like
whoa.
With more and more levels and like a fucking Ferris wheel
like rotating
of shoes. Anyhow, then she falls overboard off the boat and gets amnesia.
Oh.
And he brings her, he basically brings her back to his house with his three kids because his wife died. And basically convinces her that she's his wife.
Are you fucking kidding me? That's the story?
You know, and they're really like working class.
Maybe you need like a ceiling conveyor belt.
And the listener should do that as well.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Hey, everybody. If you remember, this last summer I was a visiting artist at Acre Residency up there in Wisconsin. And their applications are open right now.
Oh, really?
So if you want to go have a couple weeks among a ton of really awesome people, artists, and the staff there are also all artists, so it's just like Artist City out there in rural Wisconsin, I'll put a link to the application in the underworld. Also, they announced the Creative Capital awardees.
Oh, really?
And I haven't seen that yet. The only person I knew on there was Dynasty Handbag.
Oh, fucking
congratulations
awesome.
To Dynasty Handbag.
Yeah.
Good job.
Our friend of the show, Jennifer Wofford, is doing her final year of No Scrubs at the Women's March. So look, keep an eye out for people in yellow, wearing yellow and holding big signs with amazing.
And don't they have a stereo?
There's going to be it's basically a dance party. And it's awesome. It'll be at the Women's March. And, you know, feel free to join. It's always lots of fun.
Hell yeah, get out there. Also, while we're on the topic of protest.
And women.
Over this last weekend, if you haven't been following, there is a group called Moms for Housing. You can find them on Instagram. I think also on Twitter with the same handle.
Probably, yeah.
And it's Moms, spelled the usual way, the number 4. Housing, all one word. And Moms for Housing, this is from their bio. Moms for Housing is a collective of homeless and marginally housed mothers coming together to reclaim vacant investor-owned properties. So they were basically occupying an empty house in West Oakland, which is owned by this property management group called Wedgewood, which is owned by this dude who does not even live
there in LA,
in the Bay Area. And so they had occupied this house.
And they have like many empty houses throughout the Bay Area.
With kids, with little kids. Okay. And so there's been like a ton of protest. You also should listen to Kat Brooks' show on KPFA because she's been out there with them and talking about it a ton. And so anyway, like 2 days ago from when we're recording this on Thursday at 5 a.m., the fucking OPD, the Oakland Police Department, came in and kicked them out of the house forcefully. And if you've seen pictures of this, it's like fucking outrageous. Like they look like army dudes. Yeah. Like they're you look at the picture of this and it looks like they're in fucking Afghanistan. They're wearing like camo tactical gear and came out with one of those, what are they called? MRADs, the big tank things.
Oh really?
To like get unarmed moms and kids out of this empty house so that it can just sit empty.
Right.
Yeah, so keep track of this and go ahead and donate to them. Maybe I'll play a little clip.
Misty Cross is with us, a member of Moms for Housing.
We were told by the sheriffs that they were gonna release us once they took us around the corner to the paddy wagon. That did not happen. A couple of things that the sheriff says have not been true and have been lies. Ahern gave us paperwork as we were put into the paddy wagon in handcuffs with his letterhead on the top of it, stating that they had some shelters for us to go to, and that was the help that they were assisting us with. Not with 2 months' rent, not with trying to be concerned about our health or our condition or where we were to go next. It was a paper with his letterhead on it, given to us in cuffs, saying, take this with you as you're going to jail.
And Misty Cross, you were released on $5,000 bail?
Correct.
And what happened to all your property that was inside? I mean, to be clear, this house was vacant for 2 years owned by Wedgewood Properties. You went in November. What happened to all of your things and your family's things?
We were told that negotiations had happened with our legal team and city officials and the sheriffs for us to be able to go in the home the following day at 10 a.m. to remove our things with our moving truck outside. before 10 a.m., there was PG&E construction work going on, and they had movers there taking our stuff out in trash bags, throwing it to the curb.
What's Libby Schaff doing?
Nothing.
What's her response?
She sucks.
It's January of 2020. I think we're all well aware of our coming up election. And I really feel like it's sooner than anyone thinks. And so I just want people to...
It's March 3rd is the California primary.
Yeah. I mean,
we're on Super Tuesday this time, guys. We actually matter.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah. Last time we were in fucking June.
I want to encourage everyone to check their party status, because if you are not a registered Democrat in California, you will not be able to vote in the primary. Jimbo was, I don't know, I feel like there's been some weird shit happening with voter stuff, so I just want to, everyone should just do their,
make sure you're registered.
Make sure you're registered, make sure you know what you're registered as, make sure you know where your voting station is, because all that shit's been changing, and I don't know if it's changing in, like, a legit and normal fashion, or if there's, like, some weird stuff happening.
Should we say anything about Sanders and Warren?
You can say something if you want.
Well, I just want to say to the listeners, look, we're voting for Bernie. We've endorsed him officially on the show.
Yes.
If you're voting for Elizabeth Warren, that's fine. Mm-hmm. We prefer Bernie, but hey, they're both way more progressive than the whole rest of the fucking, what do you call that?
The Democratic field. Selection they're to the what? Field.
Right.
How do we change the fucking system?
Well, I don't know. We got to think about that maybe in a longer term. Maybe
but
we should.
Every 4 years, there's an you know, like, it's every 4 years. It's not
no,
like
it's
all of a sudden
lot more.
It's gonna
no,
be.
We gotta. If we wanted to like get a Green Party candidate going, we should have been fucking caring about that and talking about that a long time ago.
No one will run as that, because it's basically
someone always runs
a joke
that.
In this.
No, somebody always
How come
runs.
No one's
as
running
that?
As green right now.
I'm sure fucking Jill Stein has probably been on Democracy Now 93 times talking about how she's running.
Is she running?
I'm sure she is. She's got her fucking acoustic guitar ready to go.
Okay, we need someone more serious than that. Times are changing. It ain't a joke. Hey, revolution. Take back your vote.
Take back your vote. Yeah. Well, Maysoon, here's the deal. Did you think about that?
Did I think about what?
Did you think of about course. In the last 3 years, hey, we got to get a third party rolling?
Well, I'm always thinking about it, but whether I'm doing anything is another fucking
story.
Well,
exactly. So we got to just deal with what we got. Maysoon, you got the fairs going on this weekend. Did you hit any of those?
No. Well, not yet. I mean, I thought I'd go to Untitled because it's over there at Pier 35, which for you, those of you who don't know, is in between the ferry building and Pier 39, which is the big tourist center.
Well, hold up.
Oh, it's closer to, I guess, there. What?
Pier 39 is Fisherman's Wharf, right?
Yep.
So just, the ferry building is about 25 miles away.
I know, that's
away.
Why I said it's between the two, because I don't know.
Well, so is all of San Francisco.
Okay, fine. So it's just before Pier 39, Fisherman's Wharf.
So it's way closer
what
to
Fisherman's
Wharf.
What I mean
so you
to say
get on the streetcar.
Is that it's not at Fort Mason, which is like over the hill, blah, blah, blah. No, you can walk your ass there.
From the ferry building. From
go
Embarcadero
ahead and,
Bart.
Go ahead and get off at Embarcadero Bart and then take
That's
a
long
lovely
walk.
Stroll. It's probably a 20-minute.
In the rain and the sleet.
It's probably a 20-minute
walk.
That's
why Maysoon and I were supposed to record there today, and we were like, this rain will not.
I was
will
really
not.
Afraid. I was afraid. But it is a nice walk, and I would say I'll probably go because I like any excuse to get out to the bay or the ocean or wherever kind of water situation.
Yes.
So probably do that. Kate and I also got our VIP passes, and I think the whole art world got VIP passes.
Who doesn't? So. I feel like I got three from like different institutions. We got an email in from Lacey Johnson. Okay, artist, video artist, and educator. Saying, come see the culmination of my work as artist in residence at the Prelinger Library. Oh. This past season, I began with the research of the renowned computer scientist Shay, and together we embarked on a project examining the materiality of the internet. Watch me become Carl Sagan and lead you down a rabbit hole of life-altering FAQs. Quantifying clouds is a visual, auditory, and interactive exploration of the materiality and infrastructure of the internet. Did you know that there is enough copper cabling in the internet to reach from Earth almost to Neptune?
Yep, I knew that.
That's
I already knew that.
Far as fuck. Or how much energy it takes to stream your Netflix show. Come to the talk and find out these facts and more. And that's at the Prelinger Library, which is at 301 8th Street, number 215 or 215, depending on how you want to think about that, in San Francisco. And this talk will be Sunday, January 19th at 7 p.m. It's going to be a good one.
I'm totally going to that. I'll report back.
Okay,
I can't
great.
Fucking wait.
I think I'm going to go.
No, I'm going.
Only one of us can go.
We can't be at the same place at the same
time. We can't because
it's
if something happens,
security
exactly,
emergency
exactly. We need the, what do they call the sole survivor?
Yeah.
Okay,
oh, God.
Great.
That sounds fucking awesome. And I'm also obsessed with archives right now, so I can't wait to go. I've been before, but I want to revisit.
Yeah. Rego.
I want to Rego
23.
Yep.
Okay. Solo Work by Terry Burlier is up.
That
show is called I Am What I Am Not Yet. And that is January 22nd to March 15th. And it is at Stanford Art Gallery, all the way out there in Stanford.
Cool.
Terry? And there's more. Stanford Art Gallery is located at 419, which is the area code for Toledo, Ohio. So that's 419 Lesuen Mall, Stanford, California, 94305. And let me tell you something, Maysoon, the reception is January 23rd from 5 to 7. And you're going to want to take a buddy because it's a little bit of a drive.
It's pretty far.
Or you could probably take the train or Caltrain. You take Amtrak or Caltrain. Probably somewhere close to there.
Over there at Fort Mason, Rashad Newsom has a show that's opening.
Ooh la la.
Opening.
Frank loves him.
Well, he's fucking awesome.
I think there, since I've lived in the Bay Area, there have been like four Rashad Newsom things that Frank carried.
Yeah. But he has a new show, a new performance. I'm not sure exactly if it's video or if it's what it is, but there will be performative elements also. This weekend, Friday and Saturday.
Great. There's also a show going up over there at Pro Arts Gallery.
And I heard that the openings at Fort Mason were awesome because there's a ton of fucking food.
Oh, hell
just
yeah.
FYI,
you should have led with that.
If you guys are really hungry, take your ass to a Fort Mason opening.
We got listeners that are like students.
Friday.
I went to Los Angeles over the weekend and I went to the Hammer Museum. And I have to say, there was pretty much nothing that I want to mention.
I didn't go to a museum, but I did go to Yosemite in the winter, and I have to say it was fucking amazing, and the waterfalls were frozen and very cool.
Yosemite inspired so many artists. Ansel Adams,
Carlton Watkins,
Sean Shilly Shimbo. Okay, listeners, obviously we need some more feedback, so you can go ahead and give us a call, 419-351-6606. You can tweet us at Pine Tree Podcast, or you can send us an email, congratulationspinetree@gmail.com. I had so much more to say.
Why don't you write it down next time?
I know.
That
why don't
it's
I? I
gotta put it.
I need another. I can use my other box of index cards.
Oh, you need a CPT card.
Man, and then we could like go through, and we'd always have like.
I'm gonna do that.
Okay,
I'm getting that.
Let's do it.
I'm totally
let's
on
do
that.
It. Let's
oh,
do it.
I'm so excited. It's gonna be great.
And we'll be like, oh, boom!
Duh,
here's an
idea. Here's a listener question.
Okay, but we need maybe like have a section that is like sensitive. Like not time sensitive, but like specific, but then ones that are more general, like we could talk about anytime.
Okay, yeah.
Like
great.
Duct tape.
Uh-huh.
I want to give a shout out to Tiny Splendor. They are a press and a place and a publishing place in Berkeley.
Oh.
They have two locations. I forget where the other one
them?
Is. They're having a Risograph workshop this weekend that I'm going to. It's too late now for you to sign up, but if you go to their website, tinysplendor.com, you can sign up to be on their mailing list to get a notice of when they're going to have their next Risograph workshop. And if you want to make some Risograph prints, okay, which are much chiller than doing screen prints, but like if you go to like a zine fest or like a comic book fest or even an art book fair and you see some prints with hot pink,
oh, yeah.
It's probably a Risograph.
Love it.
So you can go get trained on their machine, and then you can pay a fee and be able to go in there and use it when, it, like...
Right, because those things are really hard to come by.
For a month. Yeah.
Just for a month?
Well, you can...
You
I think you can do, like, a
fee.
Yearly... I don't know. I think that you can do a day fee, or you can do a month fee, and then you can go in and use it. So, shout out to them. They also do, like, small press publishing, and I'll put a link to them in the underworld.
Cool. And I'm putting a link to myself through my postcard, through my index card, to buy a fucking button maker.
Oh, you put a hyperlink into your notebook?
A hyperlink onto my index card into my brain.
Well played.
Oh, I had one quick thing.
Yeah.
Do you ever have like a scenario where you can't say certain things in certain places?
Yes. What do you mean? Like a superstition?
Well, no, like, I just can't say that in this situation. It's not accessible.
Tons. And then I always say it immediately.
You do say it anyhow.
Well, so, by accident.
I have a notebook on my desk that my boss got me.
Oh, my
that
God.
Meg got us. She got all of us. It says things I can't say at work.
Whoa. Okay.
And I've actually been using it. It really feels really good to be like, I'm writing this shit down.
Oh, so it's like a full, not just like fuck and cunt and shit.
Well, you can write that too.
But like, it's like full sentences where it's like, really, you would want to say like,
yeah,
why the fuck do we even have to have this meeting right now?
Yeah, exactly.
But you just write it in your notebook.
You write it in your notebook.
That's
and then
wild.
You feel like you've said it and you're like, got it off.
But I would be so self-conscious about just having that like repository. Sitting there.
I'm kind of curious to see it after a year. Like, I like to see, like, this durational, like, what happens if I could keep track of, like, when I'm writing things. Like, can you see some sort of, like, historical timeline happening?
Yeah.
I'm sure you can.
Keep meaning to get more serious about really religiously writing in my dream journal.
Oh.
So I'll be dreaming about that from the bridge.
To the other bridge.
To the island in between. This has been
Congratulations, Pine Tree.